Happy soon-to-be 4th of July to everyone. 4th of July is on Wednesday. Makes it a little more difficult to have those long weekends. When you hear the word church, what do you normally think of when you hear the word church? Well, you might think of this building that we all come to, mostly on Sundays, to celebrate Mass together. This is our church building. Some of you might think of the extended church, like the Archdiocese of Atlanta, or the Catholic Church in this country and even in the world. But when we think of that, we're usually thinking of Rome and the Vatican. You might also think of the Christian churches together, all of the Christian churches together, as one Church of Christ. Well, all of these are correct when we think of the word church, when we think about our church. But it really is a whole lot more than that. The church that we know today has its roots all the way back to the Old Testament. In Genesis, when God created the world, he created it to be a sanctuary, which is another word for church. And he created us, human beings, to live in this sanctuary in continual worship of him. Now, Mary and I, about over a year ago, went out to Utah. And it's the first time for me going that far west. And the scenery was beautiful. I mean, it's big sky country. And it's easy, once you get out there, to worship the Lord. Because it's just amazing. Went to see some of the national parks, too. But as we know, because of the fall and sin entering the world, God had to go to a plan B, which was not to give up on his plan A, but to work within our fallen humanity to bring us back to true worship of him. So he had to have that plan B. And that's what we see God doing throughout the entire Old Testament, slowly, patiently, and painstakingly establishing and building up a people who would be his church, and that Jesus would bring to fulfillment after his resurrection when he sent down the Holy Spirit. Now, God began this plan B with Noah and his family, and then Abraham and his extended family, we call a clan. And then he went to Moses and the Hebrew people. And then the nation of Israel with its judges and kings, the most important one being, of course, King David. So when we think of the church, it's good to have an understanding that it's more than just a building or a single community like ours here at St. John Newman. It is more than just a diocese or even the Vatican. It is a vast spiritual and corporal reality that has a very, very long history, long and living history to it. And that history is of God bringing all people back to himself, back into that life-giving relationship with him and with one another. We can kind of look at it as being two sides of a coin. On one side is this long history of God making his church, a church that is today a universal church. And on the other side, it's how we as individual members of this church have benefited from it and continue to benefit from it. I mean, think of what it would be like for you if the church was not a part of your life today. You know, what kind of a person would you be? What kind of life would you be living? I venture to say it would be pretty different than it is now. Well, in our gospel reading today, it looks like just another story of Jesus healing those in need and how important it is to have faith in him. And that's okay. We need to know that. We need to hear that. But Mark also wants us to see how our faith is intimately connected to Christ and to the church he came to establish. We've all heard people say, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not really religious. Well, as you know, that's their way of saying, I'm not connected to a church anywhere. I just kind of freeload. You know, I mean, I freelance. I do it my own way. And even some people in our own church have that same attitude. Well, Mark helps us to see this by giving us some signs. that it's about his church. For starters, there is the number 12 that both females, the little girl and the woman, have in common. Did you recognize that? Yeah. I know Anne did. She's out there shaking her head. The little girl is 12 years old, right? We hear that at the end. And the woman had been sick for 12 years. Well, what's up with that? That number 12 is the biblical number for the church. Okay? And Mark put that in there. There were 12 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we have 12 apostles. So that's the clear and present sign that Mark gives us in the gospel. The other signs are the two great sacraments of the church, baptism and Eucharist. The woman, because of the kind of illness she had, was declared by the community to be unclean, and so she had to keep her distance from everyone, kind of like she was like a leper. And because of that, she couldn't participate fully in the life of the community. That's the state that original sin and all other sin puts us in. And it's what Jesus did for her is what he does for every one of us who are baptized. He healed her of her uncleanliness, washed her clean from the illness she had, and welcomed her back into the community of believers, calling her now daughter. He called her daughter. Well, what does God call us when we are baptized? He calls us his sons and daughters, members of his family. The healing of the little girl is a sign of the Eucharist. After she is raised to life, which is also a sign of baptism, Jesus tells her mother and father to give her something to eat. That's the last thing we hear about the gospel. Give her something to eat. Well, in baptism, we who were dead in sin were, by Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit, raised to new life, and it is the Eucharist that feeds this new life within us now, which is Christ himself. The other sign is Christ. As we all know, the church is the body of Christ on earth. It is his presence with us in this life. And something else we should all know, but sometimes we forget, we are his body. We are the body of Christ. Each and every one of us together make up his church, his life-giving presence in this world today. And like the woman and the little girl, we have all received healing and new life from Christ by way of his church. And the more we approach him with the kind of faith that he encourages Jairus to do in this gospel, the more healing and new life we will receive, and the more we will be able to give this, to share it with others. There will be times, though, when living and sharing this faith will be difficult and even dangerous. And Mark was writing initially for Gentile Christians living in Rome at the time of Nero. So we all know what that meant, extreme persecution. And the faith he was encouraging them to have put them right in the thick of that persecution. That's why he wanted them to know that they were not an isolated fringe group alone in the midst of it all. They were members of Christ's risen and glorified body, his church that he established, his sheepfold that he himself would protect and shepherd. In other words, Christ had their back. He also had their front and their sides. He was all around them in that church that he brought them together in. I think we all can agree and know that faith is a great thing to have, the greatest thing to have. It is a great gift that Christ has given us, but it is a faith that is rooted in the church and is fed by the church. It is a faith that we are called to live in all of its wisdom and in all of its truth, in right living and in right understanding of all the many issues and challenges that confront us today, and there are a lot of them. It is getting more and more difficult, though, to do that, isn't it? Particularly as members of the Catholic Church. We seem to be the target. Like Christ, who was ridiculed, by the people in the gospel for believing in life and not death, we will be ridiculed too, and even worse, as we see happening in other parts of the world today. Yet in spite of it all, there is a deep need and even a deep longing for Christ and for his church today, and for the healing and the life that he brings through that church. As members of his church, members of his body, that's the task that he has given us, of being his hands and his feet, his mind and his heart to a lost and broken world. As we come forward today to receive him in the Eucharist this morning, let's be mindful of that and thank him for the great gift of the church and of the abundant faith that he pours out to us through it.